Greetings, true believers, and welcome to the Big Brother Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and I'm your host for this show today. And thank you so much for joining us. We're going to relax here. We're going to have a good time. We're going to be talking some Big Brother 17. We're doing this podcast each and every week for robhasawebsite.com. If you want to support this show, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/rehapups. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can also subscribe to the Reality TV Rehapups page on YouTube. So that way you make sure you can see each and every one of our shows as we're talking about Big Brother 17. Each week for the rest of the summer, it's going to be a great time. Today, I'm honored to be joined by my good pal from Big Brother Canada 3, not Big Brother 17. He's a great guy. Awesome. I love him so much. It's my main man, Johnny Colatrulio. Johnny, welcome to the Big Brother Happy Hour.
What's up, JP? It's so good to be here. Oh my God, I'm super excited.
I'm so glad to have you, Johnny. I love you so much because like you just have like you're so funny for one, and you just have such a love and passion and knowledge for this game. And I think you're going to provide us with some great insight today. We're going to be talking a little bit about the two-night premiere of Big Brother 17. There's a little bit more coverage of that already, though, on robhasawebsite.com. So we're going to talk a little bit more about live feeds. We're going to answer your questions. If you want to interact with the show, we got the chat room going on robhasawebsite.com. You can also tweet us your questions using the hashtag RHAP. And hey, maybe your question will get on the show. So let's get right into it. And before we start today, Johnny, I just want to say today, I don't usually do this kind of thing. And although this is only the second episode of my podcast, I don't want people to think that I'm going to start doing this all the time. But today is a very historic day. And I just want to give a huge shout out to the U.S. Supreme Court for finally legalizing gay marriage nationwide. Congratulations. Like, about damn time, right, Johnny?
It's about freaking. This is awesome. This is a monumental moment. Equality for all. I'm so proud. It's amazing.
Hey, love is love, right? And I mean, for me, I'm just, it's about time. I'm so happy. And hey, of all the times that this is going to happen, I mean, I got you on the podcast today, Johnny, who this really means a big deal
to. You got
to.
The homo. Perfect.
So I'm so glad to have you here. We're going to have a great time. So before we get started here, though, Johnny, like, I mean, let's fill these people in on how you're doing. How are you doing? And for the folks at home who don't know, whereabouts in Nada are you from? And that's what I'm going to call it now. Not Canada. It's Nada.
I love it. I am from Winnipeg, Manitoba, the first house guest from Manitoba in the Big Brother Canada house. Whoop, whoop. I've been doing good. I mean, everything has been a crazy whirlwind since being back. I'm sure you can probably attest, Jordan, that it is insanity. I get recognized everywhere. I can't even do groceries. My life is crazy. From being a super fan to being a house guest and now to being a super fan again, who people want to hear what I have to say. It's insane. Like, I don't even know. But so crazy, JP. So crazy.
Indeed, it's crazy, man. And it's just such a ride. I mean, especially for us two guys. I mean, we've just been such huge fans of Big Brother for so long, and to finally be a part of the community, it's a dream come true, and it's awesome. And I'm so glad to have you on the show today. It's going to be a lot of fun. Okay, so Johnny, quickly, we're going to get into some live feeds pretty shortly here. I will warn you guys before we do that, because I know certain people don't want to know what happens with that sort of stuff. So, but first, Johnny, what are your thoughts on the Big Brother 17 premiere? Do you like some of these twists that they've Alison Grodner has thrown at us? What's your take so far?
I mean, I love the two-night premiere. I thought they did a really great job of both parts of it. I feel like we got enough time to actually get to know the house guests, and it didn't feel so rushed. As for all of the twists and everything going on, I mean, the twists make it interesting for the viewer to watch. So at the end of the day, I kind of enjoy that. Sitting back on my couch and watching everything play out is a lot of fun. Now, if I was in the BB17 house and trying to deal with these twists, it'd be screwed up. We had a messed up season on Big Brother Canada 3. It's even going to be that much crazier this year for the poor house guests. I'm really enjoying it. I mean, there is a couple revivals of twists that I really love. I mean, this twin twist was one of my favorite twists from Big Brother 5, Project DNA. And I can't wait to see how it plays out. The Battle of the Block, I mean, it's back again, whatever. I don't know if it's necessarily a fan favorite twist, because I would disagree with that. But at the same time, with a new crop of people, with all of these twists being thrown into the mix, who knows, maybe it'll play out differently this year. And then, of course, the Big Brother Takeover, the big season-arching twist with our first chunk being that we've got the Amazing Race, Jackie and Jeff going into the house. I kind of like them. I mean, Jackie is an interesting firecracker. She's all over the place. She is perfect Big Brother. Jeff is a little boring, and he can go. But other than that, I mean, we're good to go. Like, I mean, I'm excited. I'm pumped for this season.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I really like this cast. I mean, Robin Cass did an excellent job, I think, picking these Amazing. People. And I just can't wait to see these guys play. And it's been fun. The live feeds have been on for less than 24 hours, and it's already been nuts. It's and it's mental. Great. It's been great. And then before we get into the feeds, though, Johnny, did you have a preseason pick? And if so, who was that pick? And has it changed now that you've seen the episodes and you've seen a little of these people on the feeds?
Absolutely. I mean, I think going into the season, there was a lot of hype about Vanessa, the poker player, and how successful she was and how successful she could potentially be in the house. I mean, we had Kevin from our season as the poker player, and this Vanessa takes poker playing to a whole different level, making millions of dollars playing. And so I was really excited to see her. But I hate to say that she's really disappointed me. Watching her on TV, she's rather awkward on camera. She doesn't really do it for me. And then watching her on the feeds, I'm over her already. She was crying her eyes out last night, how she misses her girlfriend. Wah, wah, boo-hoo. Girl, you are in the Big Brother house. There are so many people who want to be in your place, and you're bawling and crying about missing home. Bye-bye. Go home. Honestly. So she was one of my preseason favorites. Steve, big reminder of Ian Harry, obviously Big Brother 14. He kind of reminds me of you too, JP. I'm not going to lie. I like this guy. I love how much of a super fan he is. I feel like he's still holding true for me. I feel like he can pull it out. He just needs to chill out a little. He's super awkward with absolutely everyone. Any conversation he's in is super crazy awkward. So he does remind me of Ian Terry in that way, but even a little more awkward, to be honest with you. So he's really got to work that out, and he's really got to figure out his grounding socially within the game. Otherwise, he's going to be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I'm with you, Johnny. I think that, I think you hit the nail on the head, I think, with Steve. I think that, yeah, he's just really awkward. I love the kid. He's awesome. He's my personal favorite because of his huge fandom of the show. But he's just got this real awkwardness about him, and it's going to be really hard for him to overcome. He doesn't have Mike Boogie showing him the ropes, telling him what to do like Ian Terry had. And I think that he could be one of these people that's out potentially early as a result of it. Could he go deep? Well, I mean, it remains to be seen. He might be able to make it over the hump. I mean, Big Brother is a game that is, I think, in my opinion, sometimes at least, better played from behind. You've seen that many times. I think very good example of that is Big Brother Canada 3, Godfrey Manguiza. That's a guy who started off really slow, and he picked it up, and he played an excellent game. Some of the greats, Dan Gieseling, Will Kirby. It happens time and time again. So we'll wait and see what happens here with Steve. But for now, you've already touched upon it a little bit. We're going to get into the live feed. So I'm sorry for those of you that don't want to know spoilers, but that's what we're going to do here today. There's been plenty of coverage on robhasawebsite.com and on the iTunes feed of Rob Has a Podcast. So if you do want to hear about my thoughts on the show, I was on RJP last night talking about that. So you can check that out. We will see you later. Thank you for joining us. You can check this podcast out, next week sometime after the power veto has been played on the show. For now, we're going to get right into the feeds and talk about what's been going on, because it's been crazy. The live feeds came on right last night, and there's been a lot of things going on. It's hard. It's one of those things. It's one of my favorite times of year, Johnny. I don't know about you, but when the feeds come on, because we have all this stuff that's going on, and we have no idea what's been happening, because we just lost a week of what's going on. So it's fun trying to catch up and to figure out what exactly is happening. So to recap for those of you at home that don't know what's happened on the live feed so far, so we had James and Jason win the first two HOH competitions. James nominated he nominated Jackie and Steve, and Jason nominated Johnny Mack, the rock star dentist, and Becky. Now Johnny Mack and Becky are your Battle of the Block winners, which means that James, Steve, Jackie, Becky, Johnny Mack, and Jason, all those guys were the people who were picked for the Power Veto competition. They just played in the Power Veto competition, and Steve is your Power Veto winner. So we're just going to assume he's coming off the block. And it was a spelling competition, apparently. So hopefully I'm assuming he did not use Technotronics perhaps he used shotgun like Russell in BB-11, or maybe he spelled pot roast correctly. Who knows? Yes, I think Steve's. So, I mean, as much as he had that little bit of a rough start here, he's won this veto. So that's going to help him out here. So, Johnny, we're going to bounce around here. We're going to talk about a few of these people because some people, I don't know about you, but this cast is pretty chaotic, if you ask me. I think everybody's a little bit all over the place. So let's talk about Jace. Johnny, what do you think about Jace so far watching him?
Oh, Jace, I cannot stand this guy for more than 2 minutes on the feeds. Every time he opens his mouth and he starts to talk, I go crazy. It's like, where can I switch feeds? Can I hear someone else? He is literally a D-bag. Like, I don't know what else to call him. He's boring. Every time he talks, he bugs me. This whole, on the episode when he called Colorado Rotto or whatever like that.
Rotto, bro. You don't like Rotto?
Like, who are you? I hate to say it. Like, he reminds me a little bit of Bobby from RCS. I love Bobby to pieces. Don't get me wrong. But he gives me this Bobby vibe from Big Brother Canada 3. I know there's the Hayden, the look thing going on, but yeah. Hayden had way more of a personality than this Jace guy.
Yes.
Jace is linked up with Austin, which is an interesting pairing as far as I'm concerned. And they think they're the shit. They think they're good to go. Meanwhile, Austin is sort of playing both sides, and he's really playing the game of Big Brother. And as we know, they're up until this point, up until today, actually, the whole plan has been to backdoor Jace, which yes. I think is a great move at this point. Send the buddy home. He's boring. He's not going to make good TV. Go home. Bye-bye. As you can imagine, and as we know, JP, in the Big Brother house, things change really, really quickly.
Yes, yes.
And from what I hear, that's been all the workings of today and the fallout of the power veto. We might have some things going on.
We might, man. It's been crazy. I mean, there's the work just as we're broadcasting this. I mean, there's talk of this potential house meeting going on, and people are calling each other out, and secrets are being spilled, and it's great. That's Big Brother. That's what, as live feed watchers, that's what we die to see, and we love seeing this kind of stuff. So it's going to be very interesting here. I know we were talking about last night on RHAP that Jace is sort of like the new Devin this season, and he's kind of like, he was all over the place last night. He's trying to make alliances with everybody. He's explosive. He's talking smack about all these people. So he's going to be an interesting one to watch. But Johnny, I have a question for you. You did say that you think it is a good idea to get rid of Jace this week. Why is that? Because for me, I think that, you know what? Yeah, yes, he's an easy person to send home, but he's a huge target and he seems to have a very little skill for this game. So wouldn't it make a little bit of sense to maybe hold back on backdooring him this week and then maybe taking a shot at a bigger threat? What do you think about that?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, it all depends on who that bigger threat is. I think right now, the person who's really talking themselves possibly into the nomination chair could be Audrey. She started off playing a really great game, and she has sort of spread herself out amongst the house and has really made those social connections that you need at the very start of the game. Unfortunately, she's letting her paranoia really get to her. And as a result, she's become a potential as, you know, a replacement instead of Jace. Yes, absolutely. Jace is an easy person to get rid of now. You know what my fear with Jace is? That he has potential to beast it out in some of the competitions. He is a physically fit guy, and when push comes to shove, he might be able to pull through with those competitions. I'm less worried about someone like Audrey doing that, although her social game is really good, but she's super paranoid, so she's going to burn herself out really quickly anyways. So I feel like you should take aim at someone who's potential to win competitions and to do some damage. And if he wins a competition, people are going to start floating to his side. It's early on in the game, and you know, alliances are starting to form and everything like that. But I mean, if he wins and he has an HOH and he survives the battle of the block, I mean, who knows who might gravitate to his side? And then we could see another large alliance happening with a bunch of dudes. And, you know, I'm not down for that, JP.
I know you're not down for the bro alliance, Johnny. You're not a big fan of the chop shop style of deal that we could potentially have this year. Chop shop. Hey, good name, Ginger Ninja. He was I said that it wasn't a good name, but hey, you know what? Chop shop. Good enough, kind of cool, but not a real fan of this whole bro style of alliance either, Johnny. No. Another question I have for you is, now that, let's say hypothetically, Jace goes home this week, is the surfer dude archetype character on Big Brother, Is that a curse now? Because if he goes home, we have Braden Baca season 11. We have David Gurdon on season 15. And then we have Jay Segalli on season 17. So that's a thing now, right?
Absolutely. I think that the problem with these guys is they have, like, they're so, I don't know, they emanate this D-bag attitude, and they think that they're better than people, and they're talking smack about people left, right, and center, and that just doesn't work in the Big Brother house, not right at the get-go like this, where you're building these important relationships. And I mean, I've been watching the feeds, and he goes and isolates himself with Austin and talk a bunch of smack for half hour, and it's like, just go away, buddy. No, that's it. It's done. I think that that's what the problem is. These people aren't going out there and building these relationships with everyone. And that's so important. And to some extent, they're a little socially awkward. Yeah. And Jay certainly is. You see him in conversations. And although he's trying really hard, I look at him and I'm like, buddy, what did you just say? Like, no, it's okay. I'd walk away. If I was in that conversation with him, I'd be like, bye, Jace. And that'd be it. I walk away. It'd be done.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting to see a guy like Jace play this game. I mean, I would have died to have like some more guys like that on our season, Johnny, because like you and I are people that we were pretty social. And I think that, you know, we went home for other reasons, but it's just like, Jace, like, what are you doing? Like, people don't really like isolating yourself and, you know, talking about yourself all the time, talking about Rotto, bro, and all this stuff and wearing your Indiana Jones hat and all this stuff. Like, I don't know if that really works. I mean, he seems like a nice enough guy, but I don't know if he's really cut out for this game. Okay, let's get into somebody else. You mentioned her a little bit earlier, and that's Vanessa. Now, like you mentioned, she was a very big favorite in the preseason for everybody. A lot of people were like, this chick's going to win. She's awesome. She's a multimillionaire. She's a pro poker player. And then last night we turned the live feeds on and she's waddlingly crying and like, I want to go home, blah, blah, blah. And we don't really know. Like, she's talking about like, she doesn't even want to be there anymore. And I mean, at first I thought, oh, okay, maybe she's doing this for just a game and she's like playing it up. But I mean, that seemed pretty legit to me. She's the greatest player of all time, in my opinion, if she actually is faking that. I don't think so. What do you think, Johnny? Do you think that, is this something that she can recover from? And do you think it has to do with she's a have-not? Is that perhaps why? Like, what do you think the deal is with Vanessa? And can she come back from this?
I mean, with Vanessa, yeah, there was so much hype with her. And then I was so disappointed for the feeds to come on and literally see her having a meltdown. And I mean, my thoughts were the same as you. Maybe she's really playing it up. Maybe she thought she made herself too big of a target right off the hop and, you know, that she needed to downplay herself a little bit. I mean, Sarah from our season strategy was really to play up the emotions. And, you know, maybe Vanessa was doing the same thing. But the more and more I listened to her bitch and cry and complain, the more I realized that she's likely not actually doing this on purpose. She misses her girlfriend. And I mean, yes, we all missed our families while we were in the house playing the game, but you are playing Big Brother. And she was saying things last night, like to the extent of like, you know, everyone's lying in this house and it's just terrible and it's so awful. And it's like, this is Big Brother. Like, what game do you think you're playing? You know what I mean? We're not playing, you know, pass the beanbag sack in kindergarten here and you know, and everyone's taking their turns. It's just like, I don't get it. I don't understand where she thinks she is. There were such high hopes for her, and I'm really disappointed. And I honestly believe there's just big hype, and she's literally just going to crash and burn, honestly.
Interesting. Okay. See, for me, I think that, you know, right now, I mean, yes, this is not a good sign. You don't want to see this. I mean, she's talking about game theory all the time in the diary room, and people like Kevin Martin and myself are drooling over it, like, oh my gosh, Vanessa, she's going to be so good. And then you turn on the feeds and like you said, she's a complete dud. But the one thing I do like about what she's doing is she's not like completely blowing up her game per se. She is a little bit whiny and she's crying and she's upset. Yes. And she's being emotional. But people aren't saying, oh my God, we got to get rid of Vanessa. A few people I've heard have been saying, we don't know where Vanessa's head's at, like what she's doing, what is she doing? But she hasn't really come up as a target yet. So I think hopefully that should help her. Perhaps, you know, collect herself, help her get back on her feet, and then maybe she can make a run in this game. We'll see what happens. I still like Vanessa. I'm holding out hope, Johnny. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
You really got to pull it together now and really pull it in. I think that it's good that she's not on anyone's target. get her radar right now. The thing that she has to really be careful of is she doesn't want people to perceive that she doesn't want to be there, because someone who doesn't want to be there is an easy target to send home on a week where you just want to get rid of someone quickly and, you know, not worry about bloodying your hands. I mean, our seasons was all about not getting blood on your hands. And right now, a Vanessa is an easy don't get blood on your hands kind of person who just is, you know, misses her family, wants to go home. And so she's just got to be careful like that. I have hope that she can reel it back in. I really love to see her pull in the strategy. She needs to really get herself in there with all of the groups. I mean, alliances are forming, and we might very well see a house divide happening very quickly in this house, depending on where power goes in the next week or two. And she really needs to pick a side, get on it, and ideally, if she can sit pretty in the middle, which I think she can do, she might be sitting well, but she has to it together, and she's got to pull those, get those emotions in check. Easier said than done. I know this because I was a disaster in the house too, so.
And so was I, Johnny. It's hard. I mean, it's one of those things you watch it at home and you're like, oh, I'd go in there and I'd be like Dr. Will. I'd just be like completely emotionless, and on the outside it's flesh, but on the inside, circuitry and wires. And when in reality, you go in there and you're like, oh my gosh, like I'm away from my house, I'm away from my family, I'm with all these crazy people are trying to vote me out. It's a hard game, and that's one of these things that, you know, I think people, when you watch it, it doesn't really translate, and until you actually live it, you realize, wow, like it's tough, and you have a lot more empathy for these people. That's at least how I view it, because before I was on the show, I was like, ah, come on, I would have been like, Vanessa, what are you doing? But now that I've done it, I've been like, okay, I kind of see where she's coming from. Now, on the night two of the premiere, Phil Kogan, the host of The Amazing Race, love me some Phil Kogan. I don't know if you watch Amazing Race, Johnny, he's great. He announces that sometimes the risk is worth the reward. Vanessa sits out that first HOH competition. So does Dave Vaughn. And there's been talk that Vanessa has granted Austin immunity. So what do we think that this is the potential power that Phil was talking about, Johnny? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think so. I think that the details of it aren't really fleshed out at this point. Did Dave Vaughn and Vanessa battle for a power and it was immunity of some sort, and then they had the choice to give it out? We don't know. We don't really know the details yet, because we haven't just had that in-depth conversation yet, so that we understand as feed watchers and as crazy people what's going on in that house. I do potentially think that this was the thing that Julie toted and Phil toted as, stay tuned for Sunday's episode for another Big Brother takeover. Absolutely. I think that's what it is. I like it. I like the idea of that. I mean, there's just so much going on. There's so many twists and turns. And I mean, to play the game with left, right, and center things coming at you, you really have to build those social relationships and those things, because those are going to be the thing that carry you in the game. Winning competitions isn't going to do it. That's not going to work this year. It's those social relationships, and how can you flex with every twist and turn that might come your way?
Absolutely. And I think that especially with the Battle of the Block twist and the amount of times you get nominated, all that stuff, I agree with you 100%. It's the social relationships you build in this game. Derek Lavasser is a testament to that. Last season, Big Brother 16, I mean, played one of the most dominant games in Big Brother history. And it was all about the social relationships he built. He did an excellent job at doing that. And if he hadn't, I don't think he wouldn't have got away with never getting nominated in a season in which there were four nominees each week. So
crazy.
Insane stat, insane, excellent player. But we're not talking about Big Brother 16. Let's talk about Big Brother 17 more. Okay. Let's talk about someone else. And that is, my homeboy, Steve Moses. We mentioned him a little bit earlier. He's won the power of veto, so I'm a little bit happy. Johnny, I'm sure you're rooting for this kid too. What do you think about his rough little start? And just let's get into, do you think that he did win this power veto? That's good. But before that, wasn't doing so great. I mean, people were talking smack about him and saying he's really awkward and he's asking strange questions to people and all this stuff. Do you think that Steve could find himself being in this Jocasta type role this season, in which people are just like, okay, there's four nominees, I need a nominee. Steve, you go up there because I don't care about you and you're not an alliance. What do you think about that? And do you think, how would he get out of that type of scenario? What does he need to do to pick up the pieces and get moving forward in this game?
It's so hard. And when you enter the house as a super fan like that, and if you're not naturally an outgoing person who, you know, would walk up to someone in your everyday life and start up a conversation, which I don't take Steve as that type of person, you're going to have issues building relationships in there. And I think that that's where he faltered going to the house. I mean, we missed a whole chunk of time, so we don't know how what was going on in those first 7-8 days that they were in there. But at the same time, watching these conversations he has with people, 8 days later, he still hasn't built relationships and he's still asking these really weird, awkward questions. And that's going to put people off. And if you put people off at the start, yeah, easy person like Jocasta, you can just throw up on the block and become the person, you know, every week who goes up, goes up, goes up. He does have the ability to play a really great game. He is a super fan and he knows the game inside and out. I've heard him talk about past seasons and this guy knows what's up. A little disappointed he didn't watch Big Brother Canada. Boo, boo, boo. Yes. But I'm okay with that. He knows Big Brother US inside and out. And he needs to really leverage how other players have set themselves up. He's not in an alliance with anyone right now, or not that I know of. I mean, someone could tweet us and let us know if he is. But I think he's in a position now. He's won the power veto. He's coming off the block. He really needs to get himself in check, and he really needs to figure out where he sits and where he lies with the house, and maybe who are you starting to form relationships. And he needs to pick a couple people and start to work on them. We all know that, you know, your best bet is to start with one person and really focus your time and relationship on them. I mean, you did it with Zach in Big Brother Canada 3.
Yep.
I did it with my girl Neha. And I did it with Kevy Wevy a little bit too.
Yeah, me too.
That's the thing. You have to focus your time on certain people at the very get-go and then see where that takes you, see where that might lead you. And I haven't seen him to date do that. And that's where what he needs to do if he wants to improve and if he needs to recover or rebound from this flutter of a first week. I get it, though. The emotions are running high. He's a super fan living his dream in the Big Brother house, and it throws you off right off the start. I mean, it threw me off a little, too. It probably threw you off a little as well.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, you have to recover from that. And I think he can do it. I really do. But okay, he's got to be careful.
Yeah, he's got to be very careful. And like you said, yeah, it's a game of you got to build strong relationships. And when you're in a house with people that are super type A personalities like Jace, like perhaps I'm trying to think of another one.
Dave Vaughn,
Clay, all these type of people. You've got to be able to, you have to be outgoing because if you're an awkward guy like Steve, you don't really have much in common with these people. So you have to make an effort to get to know those people on a personal level. Now, I was talking to Godfrey actually on the first episode of this podcast, and we did a fantasy draft, and Godfrey actually chose Steve. And he said one of the reasons why he selected Steve was that Steve read one of Dan Gieseling's books. And in Dan Gieseling's book, he said that when he was in the Big Brother house, people didn't really ask him any questions for like a month. And so Steve said that part of his strategy was personal quest about people. Now he's asking, I think, a little bit of the wrong questions from the sound of it. It doesn't have to be too complex. It's just got to be like, ask about like your childhood or your upbringing,
your family, your brothers, your sisters.
Well,
you did a really great job of doing that for us. And I think that's where he can recover and rebound is start to just get to know people, the basics, you know, your family, your friends, what do you do? Where did you grow up? I mean, what did you do in college? I mean, that's a great place to start. Those are easy conversations to have, and you can develop really great relationships by just doing that, you know?
Now, Jackie is one of these amazing race people. Johnny, you mentioned that you liked her. What is your take on Jackie to go on the block right away, which, hey, we know that isn't the best idea after watching Big Brother Canada 3. Is the move going to pay off, or is this going to blow up in her
face? I mean, I hope that it's not going to blow up in her face. She's not a person that's worth sending home at this point in time. I like her. She's a spitfire. She's a firecracker. I think she has potential to do really well in this game. Her with Jeff don't make sense to me. She needs to cut ties with Jeff and just move on with that. And it seems to be what she's doing in the house. Jeff seems to think he has her in her back pocket, but I really don't think that that's the case. I think Jackie's going out there and making these relationships that she needs to make in order to get herself further in the house. And Jeff is sort of just on the side. She can do well if she can really reel in that sassy attitude that she has. I mean, Devon has that sassy attitude as well, but she does it in a way that doesn't seem to put off people, or it has put off a couple people, and it has led to a couple fights from what I've heard on the feeds. Apparently she had a blowout with Clay, but at the same time, she's not really anyone's target, and she hasn't really put herself in a scenario where people are questioning what she's saying, whether it's the truth or not. Jackie has to be careful that she doesn't do that, because she is talking to a lot of people right now, because she's on the block, and you do that when you're on the block. So she needs to be careful. She's likely, with Steve saving himself, going to remain on the block this week. So she's really just got to dial it down and just be careful. Whomever goes up on the block against her is likely who's going to go home. So as long as she doesn't make a big ass of herself in the meantime, between now and next Thursday, she's going to be okay. That's my take on her. I like her. I like that fiery personality. She reminds me of like Housewives of Atlanta or New York or something like that. She'd be perfect on a show like that. Yeah. And I think that's a perfect character for Big Brother.
Yeah, I agree 100%. That's a great comparison, Johnny. The Housewives of one of the Housewives franchises. That's where Jackie should do after this. Yeah, she kind of like, I don't know about you, but she's kind of got like a little bit of Cindy in her, like just a little bit, which kind of like, I don't know, it's just something I just reminds me of Cindy with an S for some reason from Big Brother Canada 3. But like she's got, I think for me, no offense to Cindy, I love Cindy. I think Jackie's got a lot more skill for this game. I think that she understands what's going on. I think she's going to hopefully, I mean, yes, it's a very risky move, but I think that potentially this could buy her some favor going forward. And I think that there are bigger threats in this game. As we have already mentioned, people are scared of a few other people right now. So hopefully she can kind of lay back a little bit for a while and then she can work her magic. But I'm excited to watch her. I mean, as much as I was at first, I was a little bit disinterested with having Amazing Race people on this show, I'm excited to see what she can do. I think she could potentially do this some damage, and she could be a beast in some of these comps, so it's gonna be fun to watch her. Now let's get into two people here, Johnny, that have played this game a little aggressively, and there's differing opinions on these people, and that is Audrey and Dave Vaughn. Now Audrey and Dave Vaughn at first seemed to, based on what I was hearing, I don't know about you, seem to be on the same page in that we're gonna backdoor Jace this week. But now there's been talk that Dave Vaughn and Jason this morning were talking, and they were Dave said she wanted to try to see if she can convince James to backdoor Audrey this week. And then now there's word that, Audrey knows about this plan, all this stuff. So what do you think about Audrey? What do you think about Dave Vaughn? Which of them is playing? Are they both playing just similar games and they're just on the opposite sides of the house, or they're going after each other for whatever reason? Or do you think that one is playing a particular better game than the other?
I mean, I think from my perspective, Davon is doing a lot better of a job of, you know, staying out of the radar, under the radar and out of people's mouths. Audrey is she's making her rounds. I had such high hopes for her, and there was such big potential for her. First transgender person in the Big Brother house, you know, kudos to that. That's amazing. A huge step for the North American franchise, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely.
When it comes to Big Brother. She is the perfect person to represent a transgendered individual in the house. She's a super fan. I actually know that she came from the online reality gaming world. So I know people who have played games with her. So she is a true super fan. And I love that about her. She's playing too hard too quickly, and that's her biggest problem. Where Davon is sassy, she speaks her mind, she says what she has to say, but she dials it back when she's having conversations with people, and she's very cautious on what she says to whom. Where Audrey is talking to everyone and is almost spilling her beans to absolutely every single person in the house, and that is potentially leading to her possibly going up on the block. I mean, there's a lot of talk about, you know, they're finding out that she's been the one that's been spreading the information around the house, and it's going to blow up in her face, because you can only do that for so long without getting caught. And there's so many people in there that she's talking with, and they're going to start comparing notes, and they're going to be in a lot of trouble. I like the fact that Jason and Davon have sort of said, you know, hey, maybe we need to take this opportunity and take Audrey out. I love the gameplay. I mean, I'm all about the game. I'm sure you love it too.
Oh, yeah.
And so that is, for me, that's awesome. I love to see that. I feel like it's another one of those things where the girls just can't seem to get along. The girls are always going to butt heads. I had high hopes that we were going to have, you know, a strong girl alliance this year. And I don't know if we're going to see that. I'm hoping we can see remnants or pieces of these girls start to come together. I mean, I think Shelly is a strong force for the women. And I think Davon certainly is, and I was hoping Audrey was too, but I think she's going to rub some people the wrong way just by the amount of people she's talking with, and people are noticing. People notice Audrey's talking to so-and-so, then she scatters, and she's talking to so-and-so, and then she scatters and talking to so-and-so, and she's got to be careful of that. Yeah. I mean, I want to get into talking about Clay, though. We got to talk about Clay, because this guy is blowing my mind. First off, he's gorgeous. One, I have to throw that out there. This guy's a freaking stud.
Beautiful man.
Beautiful guy. But when it comes to Clay, I was expecting him to be dry, boring, bland, and a terrible game player. I was watching his interviews, and Clay was talking about, you know, how he's a super fan, and he started binge watching 4 months ago. And it's like, bye, buddy. You're no super fan if you only started watching 4 months ago. But I'm starting to watch this guy in the feeds. This guy knows how to play the game. He's playing a really great game. Everyone wants him in their alliance, much like Zach from Big Brother Canada 3,
yes,
which is awesome. This is perfect for Clay's game. All of the girls want to showmance him. We've got Liz, we've got Shelly, we've got all the girls, Becky, lined up to showmance with him, which is perfect. That's great for Clay's game. But when you listen to him talk and when you listen to him strategize, he's got it up there. He's got it going on. I was thinking this guy was going to be a complete dud and a doorknob. And I'm really backtracking on what my initial thoughts on him were. And he's really impressed me. He's got this really close bond with Audrey. And I feel like the problem, though, is that Audrey just can't seem to trust Clay. And Audrey is just being super paranoid about everyone in the house. And that paranoia is what's causing her to stir and to run around the house and panic, yeah, and talk to everyone. And that's where she's sort of screwing up.
Yeah, and I think there's something to be said. I think there was a conversation earlier today, and I agree with the sentiment that Clay is like the Zach Olenek 2.0. He totally is right now. I think he's doing a very good job, and I'm very impressed. He's very calm. He's the three C's. He's calm, cool, calculated. Excellent work by Clay so far. I mean, it's been less than 24 hours, but I like what I've been seeing from him. But yes, earlier there was a conversation today, and Audrey and Clay were talking, and yes, she was very paranoid about Clay, and Clay was like, look, like if you're saying that you're paranoid about me, that makes me think that, you know, you're willing to, you know, come after me, or you don't trust me. And like, why would I trust you if you're going to say that stuff? You know what I mean? So I think there's like, that's a thing in Big Brother is people, if you say, like, if you get any inkling that you don't trust somebody, that's not good for your game. You want to go around, you want to make people think that you do trust them, because they're not going to worry about you in that scenario. If Audrey is being super paranoid about Clay and about Davon and about these other people, they're never going to want to work with her, because they're just going to think, well, if Audrey's already thinking this, it's what, day 8 or whatever it is, why the heck would I want to work with her long term? She's already thinking about cutting me. What do you think about that, Johnny? It's a fine line, right? Like, I don't know.
It is a fine line. And she's trying to build these relationships and this alliance with people like James, Shelly, with Meg, with Clay. And then the minute she has a conversation with these people, she'll walk away. And then with Shelly, she'll be bitching about James or bitching about Clay. And then with Clay, she'll be bitching about Shelly. And it's just like, you can't do that. Like, especially if you're wanting to be this formal alliance, you can't start trashing each other before you even formed an alliance with a name and everything like that. And that's going to be her downfall. She is just a yapper, and she likes to talk, and she likes to hear her own voice. And she's just talking too much right now. She needs to shut the mouth and just observe. And because right now, if she does that, she might be able to save herself from going up on the block. If she continues this yapping around and insisting on starting a house meeting, which was literally what was going on right before we started this, we are imminent of a house meeting in week one. What kind of crazy game is this going to be if we're going to have a house meeting in week one? She needs to dial it down. Otherwise, she's going to be in a lot of trouble.
Reminiscent of Willie Hance in Big Brother 14. Those are the good old days. Wasn't that fun, Johnny? Oh, my gosh. I miss Willie Hance. He's the best. But yeah, I'm with you, too. I mean, like Audrey, yeah, it's been frustrating to see this stuff. And if for me, this is how I look at it. If I'm in there, I'm in the house, and somebody's coming up to me and talking smack and, you know, dissing all the other house guests, and just like spewing your guts out, to a certain person, as soon as Audrey leaves the room, I'm thinking, and you see Audrey running all over the place, I'm thinking to myself, wait, if Audrey's saying this about all the other house guests, what's she saying about me? So I don't think it's a good idea to, it doesn't benefit you in any way to gossip about other house guests, because it's just going to cause other people to question you. And Yeah, I had really high hopes for Audrey. I took her in our draft, and I thought, you know, she's got a lot of potential. She's got the right ideas. She's got, like, some good ideas. And I think that if she can just, like hone it in and just focus, I think she can do well. It's just right now she's a little all over the place. And when you're trying to play everybody this early in the game when there are 15 other people in the house, it's incredibly difficult to do. It's one thing if you try doing it with a partner, with an alliance, and there's multiple people, you're comparing notes. That's one thing. But if you're doing it all by yourself, it's really tough, and I don't know how she's going to really pull this off. Now, before we move on, though, Johnny, you did mention that you know some people that played some ORG, some online reality games with Audrey. What is the scouting report with Audrey in these games? Has she been this aggressive type of person? Like, what exactly, like, what is it? Has she been successful? What have you been hearing from people you know?
So she played a Survivor game and actually came out on top as the winner. And she plays a really great social game. That's what she seems to excel in on these online games. And I mean, in an online environment where you're chatting with people, that's going to work because people aren't going to observe and see that you're chatting with a ton of people and really building those social relationships. So that's where she's been successful. But I will caution this. I know someone personally, shout out to Kieran, who met Audrey pre-Big Brother.
Oh, wow.
As a result of these online gaming community. And that she's a bitch. Like,
really?
and she gives off that bitchy vibe. I mean, watching the interviews, that's what I got from her. She gives off a little bit of this, I'm a little bit of a bitchy girl, and that's not going to be good. And I mean, now hearing from someone who's met her in person and got the same vibe from her, I don't know. I mean, that doesn't bode well for you in the Big Brother house when you're not hidden behind a computer monitor, you know?
Yeah, that's not good. I'm pulling for Audrey so bad. I want her to do so
really
well.
I really want her to do well. Unfortunately, I think she's going to be a pre-jury boot. I think if she could survive this week, it's only a matter of a week or two longer, honestly. And I hate to say that because I really want to see her do well. I had such high hopes for her as a super fan. And I just don't know if she's going to be able to reel it back in. I don't know. I hope so, but I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, you never know. She could crash and burn, or she could be one of these people that recovers and, you know, plays this amazing game. We'll see. And I think in competition, she's going to be pretty strong. So hopefully maybe that'll buy her some leeway into building some more relationships and alliances. And we'll see what happens. I mean, it's funny. Like, what would you rather? Would you rather have a player, like, if you want to back somebody, would you rather have a player like Steve, who is really awkward with everybody and everybody looks at, perceives him as like, oh my gosh, this guy's so weird and I don't want to talk to him, and he's kind of like an outcast that way? Or would you rather be someone like an Audrey, who is kind of like, she's had, you know, she's talks with everybody. She seems to be on decent terms with everybody, but everybody else is kind of catching on to that. What is the worst situation to be in, Johnny?
I think it's worse to be in Audrey's shoes right now than Steve, to be honest with you. I think she's really got to be careful. I think if I was in the game, I want to keep an Audrey because she's a bigger target and people are going to target her every week. Whereas Steve, you know, whatever, he's, you know, easy, awkward, whatever, no big deal. So Audrey needs to be careful of that. But that could play into her benefit. And I mean, if she continues this tirade that she goes on talking to people, people might think, you know what, we're going to keep this chick around because she will always go before me. It was the meat shield, the Big Brother Canada 3. Who knows what we want to call her, but she can shield them because people are all talking about her and all know she's playing the game, and she's playing it really hard, unfortunately. So, I mean, fortunate for us as viewers to watch, unfortunate for her in the house.
Yeah, it's a tough position to be in, but yeah, I agree with you. I think that the meat shield strategy is a good one. I mean, if only she had Bruno Aiello in the house with her, she'd be good to go. But yeah, we'll see what happens with Audrey. I'm still holding out hope. I think she can. It's going to be interesting though with this house meeting. Who knows? I mean, we're doing this podcast right now, and stuff's going on, and we don't even know about it. So
exactly.
Who knows? She could be sinking her game as we speak. I'm holding out hope that that's not happening though, because Audrey, I think, is great for this show. Yeah. She's great for CBS. And I think that, there's more to see with Audrey. We want to see her for a long time. And I think that she can provide us she's a great character on this show. And I think she can provide us with a lot of good television. And Johnny, you like good TV, right?
I like good TV. Do you like good TV?
Do you want some good fucking TV?
So Oh, Sabrina, I love you.
Oh, Sabrina Abate, one of a kind. Okay, so we had a good talk about Audrey. Let's talk about somebody who it's a little more of a lighthearted conversation, and that is our good old pal hashtag Trainwreck Becky. So. Johnny, for the folks at home that haven't seen it yet, can you please explain to them what the conversation Becky had last night about the train?
I'm watching her have this conversation about her being hit by a train or something and her face getting messed up or something to that effect. And I'm thinking, like, what? What? Like, first off, Becky, to begin with, is dull, boring. Like, she is like the wallpaper on the wall in the Big Brother house is more interesting than Becky. And then she tells a story about being like plowed by a train and messing up her face. And I'm like, where do you find these people? Like, where do they come from? I don't know what is up with this Becky girl. Interesting. I don't know. She kind of went into detail and then she stopped because she said there was some legal proceedings still in the mix. Who knows what's up with her? I mean, she is an interesting character and she kind of has a crush on Clay, but that's about all there is to her at this point. So again,
she's from Rado too.
She's from Rado and you used Rado. Bye, JP. Bye.
Oh man. Yeah, you know, it's the Becky, the Johnny, like if I could look as good as Becky after getting hit by a train, I would consider myself to be very blessed. Would you not?
Absolutely. She is a good looking chick. That's for sure. I just, such a weird story. So random, completely out of nowhere. Like, why did I hit by a train and it messed up my face? And it's like, huh? Like, really? Are we really having this conversation right now?
I
just do a double take. I was like, did she just say she got hit by a train and it messed up her face? Like, literally, I did a double take with the screen. I was like,
oh my gosh, ridiculous. Flashbacks to Victoria last season and all her great stories.
Oh,
Princess Victoria. yeah, but you know what? With Becky, like, these stories, like, I found that hilarious. I love that story. And if I was in the house, I'd be like, I mean, some people were mentioning that Becky has, like, this split personality, and Jace was calling her out last night. But I mean, Jace is just being Jace. But I think that if she kind of, like, people aren't really going to take her seriously if she's saying these sorts of things and she doesn't come across as threatening. So I think maybe, you know, I could definitely see Becky being in the position of, you know, making it just to, like, Final Four, and she'll go to sleep and she'll wake up and yeah, she's Final Four and she's just hanging out there and she's like, oh wow, I can actually win this game. Don't you think about that? Like, don't you think she can make it really far in this game? What do you think, Johnny?
That's it. I mean, for someone in their first week to sort of be boring and dry and dull like that, she's not on anyone's radar, and that's a good thing at this point in the game. And if you can continue that on for 4, 5, 6 weeks and get yourself into that latter half of the game, I mean, then it's really on. And she's an athletic girl. She can step it up when it comes to competitions if need be. And as long as she continues to play those social interactions, maybe start herself up a showmance, you know, she could go far. So, I mean, as boring as she is to watch and as crazy as the stories she has so far, I mean, as much as I want to say she's got to go because she's boring, I mean, she is playing it well, especially with a lot of the other people who have really come to the forefront because of their big personalities and because of, you know, how they're playing the game and how they're talking to everyone and et cetera, et cetera. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm totally team Becky though. Like, hashtag Trainwreck Becky. I love it so much. It's so funny.
Hashtag Trainwreck.
Yeah, it's so good. I love it, man. It's awesome. So I'm rooting for Becky. I want to hear more of these stories. I mean, that's why for me, like that, like, I just think that's awesome. I think we'll see some of these her antics perhaps on the show, and like, that's what I love so much about Godfrey on Big Brother Canada 3 is, I mean, Godfrey is, he's a showman, he's an entertainer, he's a philosopher. I mean, he's one of the most interesting men on this planet. But just the fact that he pull out these stories out of his butt, like the time when he's talking about the rat with his sister and the breastfeeding, like just stuff like that. I mean,
like, are you for real?
Yes,
like,
right?
But they're hilarious. And you know what? For a feed watcher, there are fun, lighthearted things that when you want to take a break from watching the game or when everyone's boring and laying around doing nothing, you sit there and you literally fall over, keeled over because you're laughing so hard about how ridiculous the story is. Becky gets hit by a train and gets her face messed up, and I'm keeled over laughing my ass off.
Yeah. You know? So funny, Johnny. Yeah, I actually went out last night, and I had a few drinks, and I came home, and I saw this tweet with, yes, Becky said she got hit in the face by a train, and I was like, wow, I guess somebody must have slipped something in my drink. And then I woke up this morning and I was like, oh, wait, that actually happened. And I watched the conversation on the feeds. So, oh, my gosh, it was awesome. Oh, man. Trainwreck Becky, baby. Okay. Okay. So we talked about a few of these people. Now, you mentioned Clay. Besides Clay, Johnny, who's really impressed you on the live feed so far? Like, is there one person that just stands out and you're like, wow, I was not expecting this from this person?
I mean, Clay stands out for me. Johnny Mack actually stands out for me too. I really like this guy. Preseason, I was undecided. I mean, his interviews are great. He's a super fan. He's a dentist. He's crazy. He's got all these antics going on about him. But I didn't know how that was going to play out when he actually got into the house. Was he going to rub people the wrong way? Was he going to be loudmouth and crazy? And I don't think he's that person in the house right now. I mean, he certainly does great diary rooms. He's not rubbing people the wrong way. He is that loud, crazy personality, that's for sure, but not to the extent that I thought he was going to be. And I think he has the potential to do really well. I mean, we all love to cheer for the doctor, Dr. Will, Dr. Serene from Big Brother Canada.
Oh, Green. Yeah, Neha.
I love this guy. I love the dentist. And I think that he's really surprised me. I thought that he instantly was going to really get himself in a position where people were just going to be annoyed by him. He's going to be loud and in their face and say a bunch of things and drive people crazy. And I don't think that that's happening. I think he ended up on the block, whatever, because of Jason. No big deal. I mean, they came off. I don't think he's on anyone's radar moving forward. I think it was just one of those, well, let's throw them up on the block type thing. I think he's good to go. I think he's okay. I think he will be okay moving forward in the game. So it should be interesting to watch him play out. So he's really impressed me. He did one of those turnarounds for me, that's for sure. And Shelly is another person that really surprised me. I saw glimmers of a good player watching the interviews. I know people comment that she's boring, she's dry, she's, you know, just wants a showmance, blah, blah, blah. But listening to her talk and listening to her strategize with Audrey, with Clay, with a bunch of different players in there, she knows what's up, and she is playing a really good game. And I don't think she's going to be one of those girls who just sucks onto a showmance and ends up riding it to the end. I think if she does go the showmance route, she's going to do it strategically and mindfully, knowing what she's doing, and she's going to play it to her advantage. I don't think she's just one of those dumb ditzy girls who is just going to be like, and just end up in the final, you know, three or four type thing. So,
yeah, no, I'm actually with you. And I think that, yeah, Johnny Mack, like, my goodness, this guy is awesome. I love him so much. I mean, yeah, I mean, his diary rooms are hilarious. And hey, I mean, he hates you and I, Johnny, because he said he hates super fans, but who cares? We love him. He's awesome.
Exactly. We love him.
We love him. Yeah, like he's comforting Vanessa last night. I mean, he's asking questions about people. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, like this dude is like, he actually can talk to people. This is good. And you know what? I guess I should have realized this. I mean, and perhaps everybody should have, because, hey, I mean, the guy made it through dental school. He is a dentist. He has to have, I mean, and that's not one of those type of doctors that you can't have any social skills. I mean, you're like, you're talking to people a lot when you're, you know, you're getting your teeth clean. You're like, and the dentist is like asking you questions. I mean, that's a thing. That is a thing. So I think that, you know, Johnny Mack, I think this guy could go far, and he's going to be so much fun to watch. I think he could be our Zach Rantz this season. The total, like, just the total package, entertaining, great to watch, and I'm already in love. And then, yeah, Shelly, same thing. I mean, she has really impressed. I think that she's faced some adversity in her life before. I mean, she is divorced. She's, you know, been in some long-term relationships that haven't worked out so well. But she's very driven, and I think she's got very good social skills. And that, again, like you mentioned earlier, Johnny, that is what is probably the most important thing in this game, is social relationships, and she seems to be excelling in that category right now. So I'm impressed. I think she's doing well. For me too, one person I want to ask you about is, or two people actually, the two HOHs. We had James and we had Jason. What do you think about these guys? And I don't know about you, but for me, they're also surprising me a little bit. So what do you think about those guys so far?
So, I mean, Jason, let's start with the gay guy, because let's get the gay guy analysis on the other gay guy.
All right.
You know, Jason, I wanted to hate him. Because us gays, we can't seem to get along with each other. We seem to always hate each other. There's very few gays who have played Big Brother that I actually like and enjoy. Andy Heron is probably one of the only ones. And I mean, I love Kenny from Big Brother too. Go so, Kenny. I mean, those are the ones that I actually enjoy and liked. As for the rest of the gays, they can go. I could take them or leave them. That's it. But I wanted to hate Jason. He has this really annoying personality. And I think that bugs me just a touch. But at the same time, he is a super fan. He called out Big Brother Canada 3 right off the hop last night. This guy really does know Big Brother inside and out. The international formats, he knows the Canadian version. He knows the U.S. one inside and out. And he's playing an amazing social game. All the women love him. He wins this HOH, pulls it out there, wraps his legs around the pole in true homo style, and holds it out to the bitter end, which was awesome. I loved watching that. I think this guy has the potential to go really far and do very, very well in the game. I wanted to hate him, but I'm starting to love him, and I'm starting to turn around, and I think that he can do really well. And I mean, I loved the conversation with Davon this morning about possibly getting Audrey up there. That just shows that he is a very observant game player. He knows what's going on. He knows what's up. And that's someone who's going to do well in the game. As for James, this guy, totally, when I watched the interviews, I was like, meh, take him or leave him. He's an interesting character. I mean, Asian. I mean, like, that is such a combination that just blows my mind. I thought he was going to be dry, boring, and dull, but this guy is hilarious. And again, he's another one of those people who actually knows what's up and what is going on. He's so small, and I love when you see him next to Austin or you see him next to Clay, and he's like this tiny little guy. But I think he has the potential to do very well in this game, competition-wise, socially, strategy-wise. He knows what's up. Again, those are two people that, again, really shocked me, impressed me. There are people who I thought were just going to be like, meh, whatever. And they're really turning it around for me. And great HOHs for the first week. I think that both of them are going to leave this week without any sort of, let's say, blood on their hands. We're going to go there. And they'll be okay moving into week 2 and 3 because I don't think they really pissed anyone off enough to put a target on their back. And other people have really put themselves in the forefront. And so I think they're good to go. So I think it is a successful week for both of them moving out of this week. Of course, I mean, there's still lots of the week to be had. Who knows where things are going to go. But I think that, both of those have surprised me. Oh, I don't know. What do you think, JP? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, with Jason, I mean, I love this guy so much. I love his voice. I love his personality. He's so much fun. I mean, I love how he's like, oh, yeah, that's camera 4 right there. And he's like, he just like on the feeds, like he knows like what's going on. He's just such a big, like, I mean, I love Steve, but I mean, I think you got to give the super fan crown to Jason right now. I think Jason knows everything about Big Brother. I mean, he's calling out Lori from Big Brother 5 last night.
Karen as well.
Yes. So, I mean, he's like that. And then I think was it Steve who called out Kale from BB8 or was that Jason as well?
It may have been Steve, actually.
Yeah, I think that might have been Steve. But still, regardless, like, I mean, we're having all these shout outs, which is awesome for like big fans of like the show from the beginning. For you and I, it's great. I love this, seeing it. But yeah, Jason, really impressing. James, I went in with very low expectations. I thought, I don't know how this guy's really going to do. I mean, I guess he could do okay. But yeah, he's great television. He's fun to watch. It's so hilarious. Again, like you said, looking him in conversations with like Clay. I mean, here's this guy who was like this big and then Clay's like way up here. It's so funny. I love it. But here's the thing I want to ask you, Johnny. Do you think that James, with this HOH win, can he pull off what Donnie Thompson in Big Brother 16 was never able to pull off, in that he can integrate with the cool kids of the house? Do you think James is going to be able to do this as a result of this HOH win?
I really do think he is, and you're already seeing glimmers of it. I mean, he is good with someone like Clay, who is going to be in all of the alliances this season. And if Clay is good with James, then that might be someone who gets to be pulled into some of these alliances. And that's a good thing for James's game. You also see him, he has a really great bond with people like Austin right now too, who's also playing a really interesting game. And I think that is two different ends of the spectrum of the house. We've got Austin here, we've got Clay here, and I think that James is good with both of them. So I think he's sitting in a really great position. I think he can pull off the Donnie Thompson for sure. I think he can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be good. It's going to be fun to watch. I mean, again, love all these guys so much. We got a great group.
Robin Brother 17 here. Absolutely. Yeah.
Robin cast it. Phenomenal job. Well done, Robin. Who else did I want? Oh, okay. Well, we just talked about Austin here. I mean, we might as well just go through all these people. Austin. Okay. So he's talked about this Shelltown alliance with Jace. And it seems like that is the alliance he's more loyal to, but he's branched off a little bit with some of these other people. Johnny, what do you think about Austin's game? Do you think that he's playing a bad game like Jace, or do you think he's doing okay? Do you think he's somebody who could be an early target within the next few weeks?
I think he has the potential to be an early target. I think you're right. He has branched off a little bit from Jace, which is a good thing. It would benefit him to continue to branch off more with other people and really spread himself out amongst the house. With Jace possibly going this week, possibly being backdoored, he's going to really need to have to reel it in and figure out where his main man is. I think I agree with you in the sense that he's sort of decided that his true loyalties are with Jace. Although, when you do hear him talk with other people, he's very mindful that other people are not cool with Jace and that Jace is a target and has annoyed people, and he really plays it up. So that's a really great game player there as far as I'm concerned. He's just got to be careful that he doesn't put all of his eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
And then it ends up, going out the door week one or two with Jace, and then his game's done, and there's already alliances formed, and he's on the outs of them. High potential for him. I know that, at least some of the crew from our season really enjoy him, have high hopes for him. Huge super fan. I mean, he's been around the block before. I know I have seen him before prior to Big Brother, so I knew who he was. I want to see the Judas character come out a little more, though. We saw it in the interviews, and he was a lot of fun. So bring Judas out. Bring the hat out. Bring the crazy antics. I love that kind of thing. So I want to see more of that. I want to see him spread himself out amongst the house a little bit more, build more relationships with more people, really diversify those relationships. And I think he could recover. I think he could be okay, but he will run the risk of being an early target if he can't get out of this Jason.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And I'm waiting for the Judas thing. I'm waiting to see him walk around the house in a top hat lying to everybody. And then everyone's like, hey, Austin, why are you acting like a little strange right now? And then he's just like, oh, no, I'm exactly the same. I would die to see that. I think it would be feeds gold. It's going to be interesting. I think that I think the best thing for Austin's game is if Jace goes home this week. If Jace goes home, Austin is isolated, sort of. I mean, he's not completely, he's starting to branch off a little bit, but people won't associate him with Jace anymore. And then he can make his own game for himself, and he can move on from there. But if Jace stays in the game, people keep associating those two as a pair, that's not good for his game. And hopefully for his sake, I think it would be best if Jace were to leave this week and get backdoored. I think we talked about everybody. The only person left is Meg, and Meg really, really has been impressed. Oh no, actually there was Jeff too. So we'll just go rapid fire real quick. Jeff, I don't really think we need to say too much. I mean, he's whatever. He's not disappointing. He's not really impressing too much. Meg, though, for me, I actually really like what she's doing. I think that Jeff really seems to be into her, and she people they're not worried about her. She's playing a good social game. So, Johnny, what is your take on Jeff and Meg?
So, Jeff, again, boring. I don't think we have anything to worry about. He's going to be an early boot. He's someone that people are disregarding. I think that he just came with the Jackie pair because she is what's good for Big Brother, not necessarily Jeff. I loved watching on the feeds last night where we were making fun of his dad bod. That was freaking hilarious. Yes. I absolutely was literally keeled over laughing about that. So good. So I feel like that's all that needs to be said about Jeff. I don't think he's going to go very far in this game. I mean, he could surprise us, but I just really don't see it happening. Meg, for sure. Going into the house, my initial thoughts on her, opinions on her were, I like her. She's got this quirky personality. I know she's annoyed a lot of people. A lot of people have said that she's annoying and she's going to be too much, but she has really played that social piece perfectly to a T.
Yes.
And she's really integrated herself with everyone. Forget about this alliance that she sort of got going with Clay, James, Audrey, Shelley, and that type of thing that's sort of starting and budding. She's got it everywhere. And I think that that's really going to benefit her in this game. And she can be one of those ones that could just cruise and ride the middle. She's no one's target. No one's talking about her at all right now. And as long as she can keep doing that and keep collecting information from all of the sides that she talks to, she has the potential to do really well. I see glimmers of Sarah Hanlon from our season. So
Sarah Hanlon. Ooh, those high praise, Johnny. But you know what? I'm with you. I think that I think both Meg and Becky, I can see both of them, you know, not having to do too much and going pretty deep in the game. The difference is with Meg, I think Meg is going to be in the know a lot more. She's going to have a lot. She's got a lot better understanding of what's going on as far as I'm concerned so far. And I think that she potentially could be the winner of this game. I don't think we can say the same thing about Becky right now. But yeah, it's funny because we did our own Big Brother Canada 3, all of our cast. We did our own fantasy draft. And I think, didn't Peely take Meg like third overall or something like that? And
I think so, yeah.
And I said to myself, I was like, ooh, Peely, what are you doing here? But you know what? I think Peely's onto something. Peely knows what's up. So kudos to Peely. Tweet at Peely Niemer and be like, hey, Peely, good pick. You did a good job. Okay. So the alliances right now, it's not really, there isn't one like huge alliance. I guess there are certain people that are on the same page. Like it sounds like earlier, at least last night, Dave Vaughn and Jason, Shelley, Clay, Meg, Audrey, James, kind of all on the same page to backdoor Jace. Now, Audrey, there's this whole thing going on with that. And, yeah, I don't really know how that's going to work out. So who is really like, who do you think is like the tightest alliance so far, Johnny, just from what you've seen? And who do you think has got who do you think is going to stay loyal to each other and is going to stick together for now? Because it's still really early.
It is early. I'm really liking the Clay Shelley bond that's developing. Any conversation I've seen them have between the two of them really seems to stay between the two of them. And when Audrey is saying something about a conversation she had with Clay to Shelley, Shelley is just taking it in and not really saying anything or adding anything to it.
Yeah.
And so she's really aware of what's up. So I think that those two are definitely building that relationship right from the get-go, for sure. You know who we didn't talk about, though? Sorry, I got sidetracked. Liz,
yes.
A potential twin.
I just realized that.
Right?
Like, yes.
And so she's an interesting character, too, because she is sort of finding herself on the other side of things. She's finding herself on the Austin Jace bandwagon and on sort of that side, let's say that side of the house, if we can say that at this point. Certainly, I have noticed that I think it looks like a different person. I think it's Julia, her sister, that's in there a couple times when I've seen them, you know, from morning to evening. And I look and I'm like, I am not certain that that is still Liz. And I think that could be Julia. I'm convinced 100% that they're likely the twin twist for this year.
Oh, yeah.
Can they make it far and can they get both into the house? I think they can. I think they can pull it off.
Wow.
I think they can pull it off.
That's a bold statement, Johnny. For me, I don't know. So on a scale, on percentage wise, what percent do you think is the chance that we're sitting here talking week five and Liz and Julia are in the Big Brother house?
I think we're close to 70%.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Johnny Colatrulio, bold statement.
I might end up eating my own words a little later, but I think they can pull it off. Again, she's one of those people who haven't really rubbed people the wrong way. There are way bigger targets in there right now other than her. As long as her and Julia, if they are in fact the twins and they are the twin twists and they are switching, I'd be blown away if they're not, but if they can keep their stories together in the very limited time that they have in the DR to switch it up, I think they could be okay because there are bigger people who can go in front of them, and potentially 5 weeks is not a long time in the Big Brother house. I mean, it goes by very quickly, as you and I both know. So
we both know as people who left before the end of week five. I think for me, I'd be probably closer to like 20%. Just
really?
Because. Yeah, just because I think it's so hard. I think fine. If Liz and Julia can keep this up for a week, like that's impressive. But it's going to get harder and harder and harder to compare notes and to not slip up and for people to not realize, wait a sec, Liz like has a little different thing on her face right here. Or wait a sec, her voice sounds different. Or wait a sec, Liz, when I'm kissing her right now, her lips don't really taste the same as they did earlier. Like, so you know what I mean? Like, because I'm not quite sure. I don't think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be, she's going to have a really hard time. And I think we could see, because she's a little bit hanging out with Jace here, we could see her ending up in this perennial pawn role, and we could see her maybe going home with, you know, week three or week two or whatever, just as the easy target. But like we've mentioned, there are a lot of big targets in this season right now. So we could definitely see some of them go home early. Liz and Julia could skate by, and we could see them both in the house in week five. And I think that everybody is dying to see that again, because that, I mean, as much as Adria and Natalie Montgomery weren't the greatest television, that moment was one of the greatest moments in Big Brother history. Seeing Jace, his face, Jace Wyrie's face when he's just like, so oh good. My God, he knows it's over.
And
like,
Scott watching the video on the outside with Julie in the stool was priceless. Priceless moment.
Oh, it was the best moment. And if you have not watched Big Brother 5, I highly, highly recommend, even if you don't have time, it's a big commitment. I mean, it's like 30 plus episodes. But if you can just watch the moment in which Adrian and Natalie come into the house as you know, they reveal, hey, we've been playing this game as one person the whole time. And everybody's just like,
yep.
Like Danielle Murphy. They're just like, oh my gosh, it's crazy. Good. But yeah, oh, I can't wait. But yeah, you know, I'm impressed with Liz. I think that she's been doing better than I initially gave her credit for.
And the thing is, we have to keep in mind, although she is on sort of the, let's say, the wrong side of the house right now, but who knows where that'll end up panning out. The other thing is, this Big Brother takeover is going to throw twists in every single week.
Yes.
And I mean, America and the watchers love a good twist, and they love the twin twist. I think that it's one of the ones that are the more popular twists this year. And I mean, if there is any sort of America impact or America, you know, influence on the game, we could see them trying to save Liz and keep her going. And so I'm not going to write her out just yet. She could go early, absolutely. But I feel like maybe a lot of the twists might come in and play to her benefit, because people really want to see those twins both enter the game and really throw shockwaves into the house with like, oh my God, did this really just happen to us again? But there's a lot of super fans in there as well. And you're right. At some point, if they start to slip up a little bit, some of those people who are very perceptive, Davon, Jason, they might notice. And then they might be in for some trouble. So, I mean, I still have high hopes that they're both going to be entering the game in week five. And I think that the twists will play into their favor over the next couple weeks. But again, we'll wait and see. I might eat my words.
We will see. One thing, we're going to go into the jump to questions real quick here. You can tweet us your questions using the hashtag RHAP. Before we get into that, Johnny, do you know what happens if, let's say hypothetically, Davon and Jason figure out, oh, they're twins, like, and they know, and then it just becomes, you know, public knowledge that they're twins. Is that like what happens? Are they still just going to keep playing back and like, they're just going to keep, Liz and Julia are going to take turns going into the house? Like, what is the, like, what happens there? Is Liz automatically evicted? Do you know what the deal is with that?
We don't know. I guess we don't. They didn't say that if the secret got out that it would be over. I think if someone like a Jason or a Davon realizes, that would be something I go pull Liz aside and say, hey, I know something's up. It's not you. Do you have a twin? Are you switching up? There's like, I mean, Jason is a super fan, and so he knows. And you know that two people, that's two votes. And if they can survive to week five, you have another two people on your side. It would be in Jason's best interest or Dave Dawn's best interest to say, hey, your secret is safe with me. And, you know, sort of help ride it along and try to keep the radar off of them. So it would play in their benefit. Jason and Davon could be someone who could keep it under wraps. There certainly are people like an Audrey in the house who, if they stumbled across that, would blow it up right in front of everyone, house meeting style, which who knows may have happened at this point since we started talking. Who knows? But she's someone who would blow it out of the water. So it really depends on who stumbles across it, if they do, and what they do with the information. I think that they could really play it to their advantage, and it could really work it to benefit their own games.
I'm 100% with you, Johnny. I think that's the move. Just like weaponizing the MVP in Big Brother 15 with Alyssa Riley Slater, I think that's what you do. I think you rope in Liz and you say, hey, look, I know your secret. Let's stick together. You get two votes there. I think that could really help you in the game. Now, I mean, it's risky because it could come back to bite you, but I think that's what I would do. And also too, I mean, we just want to see some good TV, and Jason's right. a super fan. I think he'd want to see that too. He wants to create good television, make a good season. I think that would be very fun to watch. But let's get into the questions. It's been a while here. Brian Kaplan wants to know, at BB17 Logic, at Rob Cicerino, at Jordan Parr, at Jake Colatrulo, should be watching the feeds. Shit is going down. Hashtag RHAP. All right, Johnny. Well, apparently we are missing lots of stuff that's happening right now.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. We can only speculate. I have no idea. Oh, geez. Oh, my gosh. We're missing out, Johnny. We're missing out.
We are.
Okay. South Noon 1 wants to know, if Jace goes this week, can Austin rebound after this and stick around for a while? I think we talked about this, Johnny. What do you think? Are you leaning towards he's out early, or do you think he can recover and Dan Gieseling style with Brian Hart going out? Do you think he can kind of like pick up the pieces and move on?
I think, like you said, if Jace goes this week, I think he's okay. If Jace stays a couple more weeks and they continue to develop that bond, that relationship, that alliance between the two of them, then he's in a lot of trouble when Jace finally does leave. So if it's this week, absolutely Austin can recover. I'm certain of it.
Absolutely. Okay. Frank Ashton wants to know, at Frank Ash 95, what do you think of the have not room? Do you think it's unfair on John the Dentist? Yeah. So I don't know if you guys picked up on this. So for those of you who have not seen the feeds, the have not room this year, it's a bunch of dentist chairs. So it's kind of, I don't know. Is this unfair to Johnny Mac? What do you think, Johnny?
No, I don't think it's unfair to him at all. I mean, it's a little bit of a dig. I'll say that.
Yeah.
This is one of the tougher, I would say, have-not rooms, although they look like that they incline. They flatten out quite a bit. So they don't look extremely uncomfortable like some of the, you know, remember, what season was it? It was with Amanda, 15, with the airline chairs,
yes,
right?
Yes, that was the worst.
That was the worst one possible. So this one doesn't seem as bad as that. It's a cool room. I would say it's a little dig at Johnny Mac for sure. But it's kind of cool. I kind of like it. I would love to see something crazy like that in our house.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Instead of, urine soaked, mattresses, that would have been very nice if, if we would have had some dentist chairs.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. Bringing up the airplane seats on BB15. My goodness. Those were watching Helen try to sleep on those. Oh, I felt so bad. Like, that was the worst. That was horrendous
to watch. I felt terrible for them.
So bad. So very bad. Okay. Oh, wow. Rob has a podcast. Did you know this, Johnny? Rob has a podcast, is actually a person now and is asking us a question. So Rob has a podcast, wants to know, do either Jordan or Johnny have a twin? Johnny, do you have a twin? And am I being bamboozled right now? Is this really not the Johnny Colatrulo?
I do not have a twin. There is only enough room in this place. And that's all. There's no twins. I have a younger brother and sister, but
you have no twins. Okay. Believe it or not, I do have a twin. His name is Ronnie Talbot. He was on Big Brother 11. I don't know if you watched that season. That is my twin. We played very similar games, and that's what happens when you're twins. You just have this inherent bond. You play Big Brother the exact same way. It's great. It's awesome. And Ronnie, if you're watching this, I love you, buddy. You're my twin. You're the best. Okay. South Noon 1 again wants to know, Audrey reminds me a lot of Amanda from Big Brother 15. Do you guys see any similarities? Johnny, do you see any similarities? For me, I kind of do. What about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think there definitely are some similarities with Amanda for sure. She's a little bit of a loose cannon. Amanda played a great social game initially, and then it progressively got worse and worse and worse, and just it just spun out of control. And I think that's what we're seeing with Audrey. Unfortunately, Amanda kept it together a lot longer than Audrey is, and Audrey's already spinning out of control. But yeah, absolutely, I can see the comparisons there for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that the Amanda Zuckerman game, I mean, Amanda played a great game. Amanda did a great job. Amazing game. But that's the type of game that it's very hard to sustain long term. And I think that, I agree with you 100%. There are definitely some similarities to Audrey here. And I just don't, I mean, there's only one Amanda Zuckerman, unfortunately. And I don't know if Audrey is going to be able to keep this up for as long as she would like. I mean, Sabrina Abate, I mean, Big Brother Canada 2, that's another person who kind of played this aggressive style game. It was nowhere near the level of Amanda, but early on, she had all this control and then kind of came crashing down and people kind of just forgot about her and she ended up in the final two. But it's a different story for another day, another podcast. Okay, Tim Forbes wants to know, Johnny Mack seems to be laying low so far. Do you think he's doing a good job? Who is the better Johnny, BB Can or BBUS? Oh, wow. Well, Johnny, what do you think? Who's better? Are you better or Johnny Mack?
I think Johnny Mack is playing it much better. At this point in week one, I was already a target. I mean, I was already in the Chop Shop's crosshairs. So at this point, Johnny Mack isn't on people's crosshairs. He is playing a game. He is laying low. He's managed to dial down his big personality, his loud voice, and he's doing a great job of it. So unfortunately for myself, Johnny Mack, BB17 USA, he's doing a better job than Johnny BB Can 3.
You know, I'm going to disagree, Johnny. I think that you guys, well, you know what? I love Johnny Mack, but I think both of you guys are awesome. And for those of you who watch Big Brother Canada 3, I think Johnny didn't, I mean, the way editing happens, that's a TV show, whatever. I think Big Brother Canada 3 is awesome, but Johnny Calatrulio is hilarious. And I don't think that came across as much in the show as he is in real life. I mean, if you watch the feeds, you would have seen that. And I think Johnny with you, I mean, yeah, you were a target of the Chop Shop, but that wasn't because of anything you did. I mean, you were very good socially. You were very strong. Everybody liked you. I think the only thing was the Chop Shop was just a bunch of bros, and they were just like, well, who's the best bro that we can get rid of? It was Kevin, because he wasn't in their alliance, and you were next because you weren't being their lapdog like I was. So that's really the only thing. I don't think that was any fault of your own. So, I mean, for now, I'm putting you guys on an equal playing field. I love you. Johnny, both Johnnies are great. Johnny's on Big Brother. They're good. We love you some Johnnies. Okay. Frank Ashton asks, what do you think of the have not room? Do you think it's unfair on John the Dentist? And this is going to be our final question of the night. Oh no, hold on. We already asked that one.
We asked
you know
one.
What? We did. So don't worry about that. That's it for questions tonight. Johnny, any final thoughts? What do you think about, what do you think, how do you think this season's going to go? And do you have a winner pick right now?
I don't have a winner pick. It's too early. I don't like to speculate this early in the game. I think it's going to be extremely hard with Big Brother Takeover and Twist coming at us left, right, and center. I think if what has sort of happened holds true, we're going to see a lot of recycling of Twists from past seasons. I don't necessarily dislike that. I think that that's not a bad thing. There are certainly a lot of Twists that I would love to see come back. I'd love to see the Saboteur Twist come back. I'd love to see the MVP Twist come back and see how it fits into the game that we currently have with Battle of the Block and everything else going on. So it should be interesting. I think this is going to be a great season of Big Brother. We've got a great cast that already on day 8 or 9 or wherever we're at so far in the house, they are going nuts and going crazy. So I think it's going to be a great season. I can't wait to continue watching the feeds and really get caught up as to what's going on. I feel like I watched and binged a lot last night, but I haven't binged like the true super fan that I am. And it's going to happen this weekend. So it's going to be good. I can't wait to see how the rest of this plays out.
Me too, Johnny. And then winner pick. Who's your winner pick right now?
Oh, boy. This is a tough one. Winner pick right now. Let's say Meg.
Meg, all right, book it. Johnny Calatrulio, he's saying 70% chance we're going to have Liz and Julia in the house in week 5. And he's got Meg as his winner pick. I like the pick. I think Meg is excellent. And I think she's going to prove a lot of people wrong here. But Johnny, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I had a great time. We had a great happy hour. People were grabbing their drinks. Some people have, their non-alcoholic beverages like myself because I didn't want to get plastered this week. perhaps next week I will get really drunk. We'll see as I am joined live in person by a good friend of both of ours, our good pal, Kevin Martin. I'm going to be going from Big Brother Canada 3, the triple eviction victim himself. I'm going to be going to Calgary. I'm going to be in person with Kevin. So I'm going to be interviewing him one-on-one. It's going to be a great time. We're going to have a lot of fun. And it's going to be awesome. I can't wait. If you want to support this show, thank you for supporting the show by watching this. But if you do want to support the show even further, there's a few things you can do. Again, you can subscribe to this show on YouTube. We're at the Reality TV Rehab Ups channel. If you could subscribe to that, that would be great. And you could subscribe on iTunes to Reality TV Rehab Ups. Go to www.robhasawebsite.com/rehabups. That's RHAP ups. Okay. Thank you guys so much for watching this show. Johnny, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Let's
have a hashtag for this show. If you made it all the way to the end of this episode, tweet us a hashtag. Tell us what you thought about the show. What's one, I guess a train wreck Becky, would that be the good hashtag to use?
That is the hashtag, train wreck Becky.
All right. So if you watch this show and you had a lot of fun and you want to let us know what you thought about it, tweet myself. I am at Jordan Parhar. You can tweet Johnny. Johnny is at J Call It Trulio. Johnny, do you want to spell Call It Trulio for people out there?
Yeah, CollAtrugLio.
There you go. There you have it. So hashtag Trainwreck Becky. Thank you so much for tuning in. I will be here next week with my good pal, Kevin Martin. We're going to have a great time. Until then, enjoy the live feeds. Enjoy this weekend. I will talk to you soon. Take care.
Bye, guys.